Good morning. Welcome to West Hills Unitarian Universalist Fellowship. I am the Reverend Tracy Springberry, and it is my pleasure to serve this creative celebratory congregation. I just want to make sure to welcome anybody who's new this morning. If you are new or you've been visiting for a few times, we ask people to fill out a visitor form, which are on the chair in front of you. And then you can get information about all the things that happen in this congregation. We have a lot going on. We have coffee after the service downstairs and online. The link for online service is in your order of service that came this morning. And I just wanted to tell everybody this is a multi-generational service. We're all going to stay together today. And also, if you want to get to know our kids better, we have lots of opportunities for you to work in our RE program. So just let me or our DRE, Liz, know if you're interested. And I really just want to welcome you to this time of year. When the leaves are falling and all the trees have gone red and yellow and orange. I was just looking out the window earlier, and the wind was blowing, and pine needles were swirling down through the air. It was so beautiful. This is the time of year when all those bright green sprouts that came out of the earth in spring, so hopeful, have lived their whole lives. They've grown large, they've made fruit, and now they have died. And this is the time of year when the animals in the wild struggle to find food. And some die during the winter months. And it's statistically true that more people die through the winter months than in the spring and summer. Bodies worn out by cold and dark. So it is just no wonder that this time of year, between the September fall equinox and the December winter solstice, ancient people taught that the veil between the living and the dead is very thin. People could speak to their dead during this time of year, and they remembered all of their beloveds in song and story. Today we gather as the days darken and get colder. We turn inward to ourselves, our homes, our families, and communities. We tell stories. We remember what is most important to us. We celebrate. And so this morning, we are going to celebrate with the big holiday of this time of year in the United States, which is Halloween. And we are going to have a Halloween costume parade for those. So, children, and anyone else who is dressed up, you can just start walking down the aisles around in a circle, and we can all see your costumes. See, there's a yellow banana, yep. We can all greet each other, wish each other happy Halloween, happy Samhain, happy Saints Day.
Yeah. whoosh. Ah, whoosh.
Those who have died have never left. The dead are not under the earth. They are in the rustling trees. They are in the groaning woods. They are in the crying grass. They are in the moaning rocks. The dead are not under the earth. So listen more often to things than to beings. Listen more often to things than to beings. To the ancestor's breath when the fire's voice is heard. Tis the ancestor's breath in the voice of the waters. Ah, whoosh.
I would like to invite Ada up to light our chalice this morning. These are our words. We clasp the hands of those who go before us and the nada of those who come after us. We enter the little circle of each other's arms and the larger circle of lovers whose hands are joined in a dance, and the larger circle of all creatures passing in and out of life, who also move in advance to music so subtle and vast, no one hears it, instead of in fragments. Let us say our affirmation. Let us open our eyes to see what is beautiful and wondrous. Let us open our minds to learn what is true and what is mysterious. Let us open our hearts to love one another and our neighbors.
Good morning.
Good morning.
It's wonderful to see all of you here today. My name is Sarah Blackthorne. I am your worship associate this morning. My pronouns are she, they, and I am thrilled to share with you our call to worship. Remember the sky that you were born under. Know each of the stars' stories. Remember the moon. Know who she is. Remember the sun's birth at dawn. That is the strongest point of time. Remember sundown and the giving away to night. Remember your birth, how your mother struggled to give you form and breath. You are evidence of her life and her mother's and hers. Remember your father. He is your life also. Remember the earth whose skin you are. Red earth, black earth, yellow earth, white earth, brown earth, we are earth. Remember the plants, trees, animal life, who all have their tribes, their families, their histories too. Talk to them. Listen to them. They are alive poems. Remember the wind. Remember her voice. She knows the origin of this universe. Remember, you are all people, and all people are you. Remember, you are this universe, and this universe is you. Remember, all is in motion, is growing, is you. Remember, language comes from this. Remember, the dance language is, that life is. Remember. Thank you all for your generosity. And as we as a community accept this gift, let us say our affirmation of giving together. Let us be grateful when we are able to give, for many do not have that privilege. Let us be grateful for all those who share their gifts with us, for we are enriched by their giving. And let us be grateful even for our needs, so that we may learn from the generosity of others. Now is the time that we take to hold all the joys and sorrows of our community. We ask those who would like to come forward and place a stone in the water for your joy or your sorrow. And if you would like to, the microphone is there for you to speak a sentence or so about your joy or sorrow. But do remember that we are online, and so it's public to the world. And I'd like to say to the people who are online, you can use the chat or speak the words into your spaces wherever you are of your joys and sorrows. This morning, though, I would like to place four stones before you start. I would like to place a stone for the people of Maine after that horrific shooting and how heavy it is on our hearts while we wait for our country to make changes that stop these kinds of murders. Wow. I would like to also hold in our hearts the people of Gaza and Israel as the fighting there escalates. And I would like to place two more stones, one for Sue Alperin, whose life we celebrated yesterday, and for Marge Columbus, whose life we celebrate next Saturday. So you may come forth.
Ready? We are standing on the shoulders of the ones who came before us. They are giving us their courage, and they say, we're glad we're in this world.
May the strength of the ancestors encircle you. May the strength of the ancestors encircle you. And may the strength stay with you your whole life through. May the strength of the ancestors encircle you.
We are standing on the shoulders of the ones who came before us. We are lifting up their courage, and they say we're glad we're in this world.
May you have all your choices. May you have all your voices. May your will
now be heard. They say we're glad you're in this world. May the trust of the ancestors be healing you. May the trust of the ancestors be healing you. And may this trust stay with you your whole life through. May the trust of the ancestors be healing you. We are lifting up our vision to the ones who will come after. We are sending them our courage as they wait to come into this world. May you have all your choices. May you have all your voices. May your wisdom now be heard. They say we're glad you're in this world. You have all your voices. May your wisdom now be heard. They say we're glad you're in this world. They say we're glad you're in this world. So
I love that song because we do stand on the shoulders of our ancestors. And I love this morning's story about how a family sewed their heritage into a quilt and used it in weddings and on beds and to wrap babies and to build forts with. By the time it reaches the storyteller, I imagine the fabric was pretty frayed. And threads were broken. It was used and loved and used and loved as it gathered so many stories into itself, a living heritage. We all are living heritage. That quilt is a metaphor for families and for ourselves. Maybe we don't have physical quilts, or maybe we do. Maybe we have opal rings. Or other mementos, or maybe we do not. But our ways of being and understanding and the traditions we've carried through our families, those have all come down from our ancestors. And we all carry heritage. Some of it is so bountiful and nourishing and wonderful, and some of it is really hurtful and damaging and not helpful. And we each carry, we transmit this heritage through our bodies and our lives, passing it on to the next generation. And we can make choices about what we do with that heritage during our lives. Across the world and time, people have honored their ancestors. And this practice, I think, reminds us of our deep interdependence with each other, with the world. With those who come from before and those who will come after. When and where we exist, literally because of the actions of our ancestors, over generations, billions of small decisions were made that made our lives the way they are possible. And in the same way, our decisions and what we carry on will affect all the people of the future. European peoples who colonized the United States have frequently dismissed their ancestors. To come here meant melting into the dominant, largely Anglican-derived culture. Ancestors were really no longer of use. My own great-grandparents came from Norway as young adults. They barely spoke to their children about their childhood and refused to use any Norwegian with them. My great-grandmother dismissed Norway as a dirty place. which is a little bit hard to grapple with, since she spent most of her life in Bozeman, Montana, which is not particularly known as beautiful, and came from Norway, which I haven't been to, but appears to be pretty stunning. So there was that. But later, her daughter, my grandmother, she disliked Bozeman so much that she made a similar move. My grandparents loaded their three children, ages 7 and younger, three daughters, into a trailer. They had no prospects, no ideas of what they would do, but they drove west because they were getting out of town. This is the same thing my grandmother did, my great-grandmother did. And this is so much of the American story, this running from the old place to the new and forgetting. The goal in the American psyche is often change, making things better. So the ancestors disappear. And just think how much the world has changed in the last 150 years. The lives of most of our ancestors seem almost quaint. So if you're a child here today, and I see many of you, you might want to ask your grandparents or your parents, like, what was a typewriter? Or have they mentioned phones that stayed in one place all the time? Or how about talk to them about the time when everyone had to watch the television show at the exact same time, and if you missed it, you were out of luck. Couldn't see it again. For most of human history, what was known by great-grandparents was absolutely necessary for the survival of their great-grandchildren. Where to plant things, how to save seeds, what to hunt, where to hunt, what plants were medicinal, how to make pots and, you know, build fires, all the stories and songs of the culture. These things were the same from generation to generation, and that's just not true anymore. Nowadays, it's often children and young people who have the flexible minds to grasp that next technology that have an advantage in the world over people's minds who have somewhat, brains who have somewhat slowed down on them. Still, our ancestors' wisdom or folly about how to be human may still guide and direct us, whether we are conscious of that or not. You may have heard the story about the woman who always cut her turkey in half to bake it for Thanksgiving. Her child asked her why, and she said, well, that's the way my mother did it. So they asked her mother, and she said, well, I did it that way because my mother did it that way. So they asked their grandmother why she did it that way, and she said, well, because my mother did. So they asked the great-grandmother, who said, because my oven was too small to hold the whole turkey. And heritage can absolutely be like this, sort of nonsensical, but then also meaningful. These people did it because that's how their parents did it, so it had meaning to them, even though the beginning was no longer necessary. It's just how our people do it. Sometimes heritage can be dangerous and life oppressing. Like passing on racism or patriarchy. But it can also be wise and inspirational, like stories of courage and love and care. Remembering our ancestors and honoring them calls all of this into consciousness so we can live the heritage that is life-giving, enjoy the heritage that is fun, and release all of that no longer serves us. One of my great-great-grandfathers was an early state legislator from Eastern Washington and a leader in his community. He was also a homesteader, taking from the native people some of the most fertile land in northern Eastern Washington and planting it in fruit trees. I admire his community-mindedness and industriousness, but cringe at the way white Americans of that generation committed genocide and stole land without really even probably thinking about what they were doing. I definitely want to carry on his community-mindedness, but not his thoughtlessness about how his actions hurt others. Another of my great-great-grandfathers was an extremely violent man who terrified those around him. many of his children and great grandchildren and great grandchildren have lived the narrow emotional lives of the traumatized. It's the heritage and part of my family. And knowing this allows my family now to explore patterns from this trauma that persist in the way we interact with one another and allow it to be released. Another great-grandmother, at 18, running from, by her accounts, an evil stepmother, took her 7-year-old sister by herself on a ship across the Atlantic to the United States, and then took a train from New York all the way to Montana, where she gave her sister to her aunt who raised her, and then went to work for 15 years before marrying quite late for her age, in her 30s. She once cleaned the houses of the wealthy here in Portland. Another time she homesteaded north of Butte by herself. And I certainly admire her strength and self-reliance and want to claim that in my own life. So now I'm going to give you all time to contemplate the heritage of your families and your people. What gifts were you given by your ancestors? What strengths and values? Are there things that you're wanting to transform so your children, grandchildren, and great-grandchildren don't have to carry that heritage? Or perhaps you just want to use this time to consider your beloved dead and the gifts that they have given you that you want to carry on, the ways they things they held in your life that you want to also transmit through your life. So, for example, yesterday at Sue Alperin's memorial service, people wanted to carry forward her commitment to make the world better and more welcoming for all. So when you came in, you were given a little triangle. We are going to make our own quilt this morning, a quilt of our memories, a quilt of our people. So you're going to take some time, give you a few minutes, and you can write on here a gift that you were given, something you want to transmit on to future generations. If you'd like, you could be from your ancestors, from somebody you know who's died that you really love. You can also draw a picture of someone or a pet that died that you want to remember always. And then after we do this, we will come forward. And if people brought pictures, we're going to put them on the table. Or if they're small enough, we're going to tuck them into the quilt, and we're going to put our squares and make our own quilt of memories. So you have some time now. So we're going to do a ritual now, where we're going to bring forward our pieces. You will hand them to Sarah and Eleanor, who made us our beautiful quilt this morning. And I will set them in the quilt so you'll be able to see them. If you brought pictures, bring them forward. If they're small enough, we'll tuck them into the quilt. If not, we're going to set them on the table. But before we begin, take 1 minute before we begin, and I'm going to light 6 candles for people in our community who've passed on this year. And I'm going to not get that candle out of there. All right. So this candle is for Dave Panton. I just want to share with you some of the gifts that our ancestors in this room have given us. I'll just read just a few. Good health, avid reading, ability to go to college and travel, charity, compassion, activism. Some of them are sentences. Curiosity, clear values, strength, intelligence, curiosity. Intelligence, persistence, love, strength, love, acceptance, liberalism, music, faith, generosity, So those are some of the values and things that our community has from our ancestors, such blessings. And after the service, I invite people to come up and look at our beautiful quilt of wonderful things that we have gotten from our ancestors and to look at some of the beautiful pictures of those who are no longer with us.
All right. As Eleanor and Tracy continue assembling our quilt, we are going to share a responsive reading. It is in our gray hymnals, but you only have one line, and that is, "We remember them." And so as I go through this, I'm going to outstretch my arm and invite you to share in that statement, "We remember them." In the rising of the sun and in its going down,
we remember them.
In the blowing of the wind and in the chill of winter,
we remember them.
In the opening of buds and in the rebirth of spring,
we remember them.
In the blueness of the sky and in the warmth of summer,
we remember them.
In the rustling of leaves, In the beauty of autumn,
we remember.
In the beginning of the year and when it ends,
we remember.
When we are weary and in need of strength,
we remember.
When we are lost and sick at heart,
we remember.
When we have joys we yearn to share,
we remember.
So long as we live, they too shall live, for they are now a part of us, as we remember them. We'll now sing together hymn 100, "I've Got Peace Like a River."
Peace like a river, I've got peace like a river, I've got peace like a river.
Like an ocean. Like a mountain.